All right, time for the Sunrise Wellness Center report with the great Dr. Ron Sinagra. You can go to the website. All that is discussed, you don't hear anywhere else within the confines of the media, ladies and gentlemen. You go to the site, sunrisewellnesscenterli.com, and a call to get a free consultation with Dr. Ron. You can do that at 631-563-1444. Call during business hours, of course, and they'll get you in. As we welcome in Dr. Ronald Sinagra, who, by the way, I know so many people who go to him when all else has failed and turns their life around. I know a lot of people really do. And how about that one guy, Doc, that called the station? I forwarded it to you.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
You are money, man. You are money.
Well, thank you. That made me feel really good. That was nice to hear.
Good stuff, my friend. How's everything going, all right?
Everything's great, great. I'm just, I won't be here next week, Jay. I'm off to Florida, do a little fishing.
Oh, whereabouts?
We're going to Marco Island.
Very nice. Good for you.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice bass down there, right? Nice bass.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy. But before I leave, I wanted to talk about longevity and living longer. It's a it's a real popular topic now, and foods to help us live longer. You know, we suffer with poor diets, insulin resistance, diabetes. So when you talk about foods to eat to help us live longer, the answer is going to sound stupid, but real food. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but most people, and especially Gen X or Gen Z, they don't even know what real food is anymore. And again, it's crazy, but it's true. 60 to 70% of most of the diet that we eat is white. White flour, white sugar, and synthetic, highly processed seed oils. It's fake food. There's no nutrition in it. And it's pure empty calories. Now, the first goal in health restoration is to get people to eat real food. Imagine your body like a beautiful red Ferrari, and I love this analogy, which it is, by the way, and it's running terrible. So you bring it back to the dealer, and the dealer says, what's wrong? See, I don't know, this thing runs terrible. It doesn't start well, it's got poor acceleration, runs rough, keeps stalling, bad gas mileage. Oh, okay, says the dealer. So what kind of gas do you put in it? Oh, I use the cheapest gas possible. I put in 80 octane. Mm-hmm. Hello? But that's what we do to our body. I love the analogy that your body's a cake and our nutrients are the ingredients. So we put in poor nutrients and we wonder why the cake is bad. So the way to look at this is if it comes naturally from the earth in its original form, did it grow? Did it walk? Did it fly? Or did it swim? If you look at food that way, that's real food. So I really believe for longevity, the answer is low carbohydrate, and that's a great place to start. Now, yes, when we look at history, other societies, even in our recent past, like China and Asia, these people ate a lot of carbs, a lot of rice, but they didn't add sugar to it, or sugar on top of it. And they also had a very physical, labor-intensive life. They did not eat six times a day with snacks in between. We're killing ourselves by eating too much and eating the wrong foods. New studies are showing us, Jay, now listen to this, 88% of our population is insulin resistant. Now, for people that don't understand that, let me explain. Insulin resistance is when we consume so many carbs and our body is forced to produce so much insulin that over time our body does not respond to it like it did. So we can't lower our blood sugar, because we don't respond to the insulin. And this is a prime driver of type 2 diabetes. So the way it works is this. When we eat a carbohydrate, our glucose in our bloodstream goes up. The only way to get glucose out of your bloodstream and into the tissues that need it is insulin. So over time, the insulin allows your glucose to leave the bloodstream and then return the glucose levels in the blood to normal levels. But what happens if you eat again before the glucose returns to its normal level? That's what we do. We eat a high carbohydrate diet. We're snacking all the time. So when you reintroduce glucose before the glucose lowers to its normal level, now we have a problem. We have a problem of high glucose and high insulin at the same time in the bloodstream, and that leads to resistance. Anything we do to our body, too much of, we will get resistant. That's a natural mechanism of our bodies. Alcohol is the perfect example. Everyone can relate to this. You know, you're 14 years old and you steal a can of beer from dad and you get drunk on a can of beer. Now, at 20, you're off in college and you can drink a six-pack. You got resistant to the alcohol. It's a classic example of how resistance works in the body. So understanding this, insulin is a storage hormone. When our cells are full and our savings account for glucose is full, which is our liver, we then convert the excess carbs to fat. So remember, we have a 24-hour storage supply of glucose. That's primarily the liver, some in muscle and other tissue, but liver is the main one. So when we fill that liver up, what does your body do with this excess carbohydrate? It converts it into fat. And fat is technically our reserve fuel supply. This is our evolutionary genetic survival mechanism. When we run out of glucose after 24 hours or so, our bodies switch from glucogenic energy system, to burning fat, the ketogenic energy system, hence the ketogenic diet, which is real popular now. And we live on our reserve fuel supply, which is fat. In our society, most people never run out of glucose. Why? Because we constantly eat, and we constantly eat carbohydrates. When was the last time most people missed a meal? Heck, when was the last time most people didn't eat for a day, 2 days, 3 days? That doesn't happen anymore. And then what we do is we re-eat a high-carbohydrate meal. So this is what's leading to this problem. And when we talk about longevity and we talk about the right diet, we got to lower insulin resistance, and we have to get rid of type 2 diabetes. You can't do that on what we're eating now. So another great example for people that may not get this, beer has zero fat. Did you ever see a beer belly? Of course. Beer is loaded with empty calorie carbohydrates. So we convert the excess carbs to fat. Right. You can't lose a pound with high insulin. It's a storage hormone. It will not allow access to burning the fat supply. The only way to truly lose weight is low carbohydrates and low insulin. If you don't do that, you're not going to lose weight. Those are the people that can't lose weight and they're frustrated. Trust me, when I check people's insulin levels and they tell me they can't lose weight, it's always high. So we have to have low insulin, which is food choice. You have to eat foods that are low on the glycemic index. The worst, bread, pasta, potatoes, rice, that's most people's diet. So you can't lose weight like that. Or you could do, you know, here's the other thing people do, is they'll do a starvation diet, one of these fad diets. And starvation diets work, but they're not sustainable. So you always hear people, I did this diet and I lost 50 pounds. And what'd you do the next week, you know, the next year? I gained 55 back. Of course, because you go back to eating what you used to eat, and it comes right back. So we see this all the time, and it's very common. But we have to understand that low-calorie diets are not sustainable. So what do we eat, Jay? I'll give you my opinion. It's my opinion that due to our hunter-gatherer evolutionary genetic past, we should eat meat. Proteins, beef, lamb, fowl, pork, fish. Protein should be our main source of our food supply. I think we should greatly reduce our grain intake. Our DNA has not changed in hundreds of thousands of years. And I didn't know this till recently, but grains in agriculture were only introduced around 10,000 years ago. And they were ancient grains back then. Spelt, rye, millet, amaranth, barley, but in the last 100 years, really in the last 50, well, I'd say 100, but even in the last 50, we've introduced over 25,000 different grains due to hybridization. So we're changing these grains, and we're mess. I mean, if you used to look at a field of wheat, it would be blowing like tall grass in the wind. Look at wheat now; it almost looks like asparagus. It's, yeah. You know, we've changed it, and why did we change it? Did we change it for better digestion and nutrition? Nope, for profit. And it's the profit factors, like what's the best yield, what's the most resistant to weather change, what's the most resistant to pests and insects, what produces a grain that has a much longer shelf life for storage. So this is the philosophy of the paleo diet, which wants you to get away from grains and go back to proteins and vegetables and fruits and nuts and berries and leave the grains behind.
Let me stop you for a second. What sure. about what about some of these things I read about regarding blood type? Are there blood type diets out there? You know, B versus O negative, for example.
Honest,
what about that?
I'm not educated on that. I'm sure it has some validity, but I can't see, you know, how long have we known what blood type actually is? How many years? Yeah. I don't think in nature we're designed to know our blood type and know what to eat. Now, that doesn't mean that if you do know your blood type over research and over time, and we've discovered that if you're type O or type, you know, B positive or B, that you might do better with one of these different types of food groups. But I just think for most of us, that's not practical. We're going to base most people don't even know their own blood type. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily, but you make a valid point because it does have some validity. I just don't think it's practical for most of us.
Right.
You know, the one thing is that when we've changed most of what we eat are now simple processed grains and simple processed sugars. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, gut and digestive issues are a massive problem. Massive. These didn't exist 100 years ago. They certainly didn't exist in ancient times. You know, your gut is the most durable, resilient, repairable system in the body. So why do we have so many gut issues? Well, has a lot to do with our intakes of grains. Grains are difficult to digest. They don't have a lot of nutrition, even though the promoters, you know, the lobbyists push, you know, it's whole grain. Yes, grains do have some nutrition and some health benefits, but it all depends on the person, you know. And it comes down to this. If you're inflamed or you have autoimmune issues or you have digestive issues or you're pushing type 2 diabetes, lose the grains. Well, here's the problem. They taste amazing. I mean, who doesn't love a toasted English muffin, a bagel, a bowl of pasta? So I certainly understand why we deal with this dilemma and how difficult it is. But, you know, for us to really, you know, deal with a nation that 88% of us have insulin resistance, and we're talking about what diets we should eat to live longer, we have to dramatically cut back on the grains and the simple carbohydrates. It's killing us. So what are we learning about diet? And before we close out, what are we learning about diet and weight and living longer and illness? Well, from an evolutionary genetic standpoint, only in the past few hundred years have humans had to even deal with longevity. Why? Nature's all about perpetuating the survival of the species, not longevity of the individual. It's all about making sure the species survives. So from a hunter-gatherer distant past and up until the Industrial Revolution, we did not have a way to protect us from what killed us. There was no emergency medicine, no antibiotics, no medicine at all. So infection, disease, trauma, insects, parasites. As we aged, we succumbed. We also had no climate control. Very cold, devastating heat. This killed many, especially as we aged. We also predators. We were not top of the food chain until we developed weapons and became more industrialized. And then we had starvation. Finding food was what every day of living was about for most of our survival and most of our history. But now we have a constant food supply, and the biggest issue is it's the wrong food supply. So having a constant food supply is just the last 100 or so years, and that's a blip on the scales of evolutionary time. So modern man and modern society has dealt with the main causes of early death as a species. Ironically, now that same approach is leading to a not a shorter life, but one filled with illness and poor health due to the fact that we overeat and we're overeating the wrong foods. So what we require in terms of food is a much different as we age. And I'll close with this, Jay.
Yeah.
When you're a child, you require lots of protein because you're growing and lots of carbs. You're running. You're playing sports. You're always – watch a teenager, watch a child, always moving. You need carbs. You need protein. As we get to middle age, our diets have to shift. We don't need that much protein, but it's still a major portion. We certainly don't require that many carbs, but we require more fat for energy than carbs. I mean, just look at a typical businessman. We go from train to desk to train to dinner to couch to sleep to repeat. We're not burning any carbohydrates. So unlike childhood and teens, we must incorporate motion. We have to go to a gym in our middle age. We have to try to, you know, play sport. We don't move like we did as a child and a young person, so we don't need that many carbs. And here is the newest lesson of all for seniors. We're finally living to the point where we're getting the modern medicine and the modern emergency care and the food supply and the temperature control is allowing us to live longer, but not healthily, not healthy, excuse me. You look at most of our seniors, they're bloated, inflamed, type 2 diabetics, they got inflammatory conditions, Alzheimer's, all these, they got joint pain, arthritis, yeah. Because we're eating too much. As we age, you do need a lot of protein as you age, and that really kills a lot of it. They don't get enough protein, but you need much more fat, even more than middle age. So you need protein and fat as your primary food and very little carbohydrate. This way you can stay lean, you can stay active, you won't have all these problems with inflammation and gut issues and arthritis. I think it's about 50% protein, 30% fat, to 40%, and maybe 10 to 15% carbs, 10 to 20%. Go to a diner and watch what our seniors eat. The bread plate, mashed potatoes, French fries, all rice, pasta, and then they bring out the dessert. Our seniors, we're killing ourselves with our diet. So when we talk about longevity, and we talk about this, cutting back the grains, cutting back the simple sugars, making sure we get good proteins and good fats, will ensure as we age, and you make those adjustments each decade, that as you get older, you should be eating almost no carbs, very few. And this way you'll have a flat stomach, you won't be diabetic, you'll be able to move, your brain will be sharp. Carbohydrates, simple sugars are killing us.
100%. It's almost like a double-edged sword. Everybody wants to live a long life. We'll sign for that, right? But to go along with that long life, we are seeing more issues regarding Alzheimer's and dementia and all these related problems, type 2 and everything else.
You know what they call Alzheimer's now?
What?
Type 3 diabetes.
Is that right? Wow.
Because it's a lot of it's got to do
with diet.
Excess sugar.
Yeah.
And how it affects the brain. So,
and that's why what you're talking about here is so interesting to me because, like I said, we'll sign on the dotted line. Who wouldn't want to live to 95? But the question is quality of life, right? What kind of quality of life do we have? I mean, if we keep going on this road, as you say, it's not much quality of life, right? When you talk about these dreadful diseases and everything else that come our way. So, it's either we change for the better or guess what? We're going to live longer, but we're going to live as far as a very tough life regarding illness.
I'll say a quick story before I go. I went to a nursing home when my aunt got very ill. She was in her 80s, and I walked into this place. I cried for 2 days. It was the most horrific place I've ever seen. You know, there were men crying in diapers. This one woman kept coming up to me and talking to me, and the woman at work said, no, she thinks you're her son that dropped her off here 20 years ago. And these people were, they were just, their quality of life was so poor that, and this is going to sound sad, but death was a positive alternative. It was horrible. It was one of the most dreadful experiences of my life at this nursing home. And I'm like, oh my God, this is how it ends? This is how it ends? And a lot of it has to do with that they don't let us die. Modern medicine is great at keeping us alive, but not keeping us in a good level of health with a high quality of life. That's the key. Living long in a nursing home, no thanks. Don't want it.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
1,000%. And listen, I lost my mom in a nursing home, she had a stroke, transferred over there. I mean, what I saw there will be emblazoned in my head.
Yeah, you can't unsee once you go there. And everyone should go once.
Everybody should go once. You know, I hate to correlate it to the old One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson, but man, I'll tell you, is that the type of life you want to live? By the way, one thing, gluten-free type foods, Doc, like, you know, pasta. Do they actually work, the gluten-free stuff?
Well, especially if you're allergic to gluten, if you've got celiac disease, but a lot of people make a mistake, and they go, oh, it's gluten-free. It's still a carbohydrate.
Right.
And sometimes, and many
times, carb is a carb, no matter how you look at it.
Than gluten foods. So people, it's good. They eat the whole bag of pretzels. No, it's still a carbohydrate. The gluten-free is because the new types of gluten that we have out, the new types of wheat, the gluten is so highly allergic and highly inflammatory, many people have a problem with it. And they have a problem digesting it and causing inflammation. So that's why people go gluten-free, because we can't digest it. But going gluten-free, don't forget, it's a carbohydrate, because they use almond flour or they use coconut flour. So, yes, it does help if you got a real problem digesting gluten. But, it's still a carbohydrate.
No doubt about it. Dr. Ronald Sinagra, ladies and gentlemen, in Sayville, right off Sunrise Highway, right before the Lakeland Avenue exit there. You can't miss it. It's a little strip center, sunrisewellnesscenterli.com. Unbelievable conversations like these are on that site. You don't hear anywhere else, sir, quite frankly. And you can get a free consultation with Dr. Ron by calling during the business hours. Denise will help you out there at 631-563-1444 as he makes his way down to Florida on a fishing trip. We will see him in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today on the 30th, and have a phenomenal time. Catch a couple of good ones there, buddy, and rest up, all right?
Thank you so much, pal. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Stay safe.
You got it. Stay safe yourself there. Watch out for those sharks.